Good evening. Before our worship service begins, I have an announcement. We have a new program which we are going to do, a new mission outreach project into our community called WARM, and it stands for Weatherization and Repair Ministry. There are some white envelopes in front of you in each pew marked Special Offering. There will not be an offering during the service, but at the end, at the exits, the plates will be there in case you want to support the WARM project, in which this congregation will be doing repairs and weatherization work on 9 different homes in the Greenwood community. And if you'd like to support that and be a part of that by giving so that we have more funds, so that we can do more, please do that. It will help you have a warm feeling this Christmas. Now join me in the call to worship found in your bulletin. Please stand. Before all time and all worlds, there was the Word. That Word came to our time and place as a human being.
The Word
has come to us in Jesus Christ. God has spoken through creation and through prophets, yet the person of Jesus speaks to us most clearly. Come then to sing new songs of praise. Rejoice that God sends messengers of good news. We bring the melodies of hearts and voices. Praise God with harp and trumpets and horn. Please be seated. And I invite you to join in our invocation. Holy God, as you came to live among people long ago, become real to us as we unite in this special remembrance of Jesus' birth. Establish your realm within and beyond the church, that your name may be renowned through all the earth. Penetrate our sophistication, that we who are seldom amazed by anything new may tremble before the power of love. Bring us to our knees before the manger, that we may then stand with confidence before the dangers that are all around us. Amen.
We light the Advent wreath again tonight as we remember. The first Advent candle is one of hope, and we begin the wait. This candle reminds us that the prophet Isaiah was longing for God's presence too. It reminds us that the people in the early church were also longing for God's presence. This candle is a symbol for our own longing for God to be with us. We wait in hope for God to surprise us and break into our lives.
The second candle is one of peace and reminds us of our dreams for peace in the world and that Jesus, the Prince of Peace, is coming. This candle is a symbol of God's promise of peace, comfort, and strength.
The third candle is for joy and to remind us that God wants us to rejoice, even when that feels hard to do. This candle is a symbol of the joy that comes when God is with us.
The fourth candle is one of love, and the circle is complete. It is a love that has no ending, that lives on in young and old, not just at Christmas, but throughout the year. Let us pray. Our time of waiting is almost over. May we as people of God proclaim God's greatness. May we see God in those who are weak, humble, poor, hungry, who come to God empty-handed and expect to be fed. May we pray for the light of the world to shine into our lives and then through our lives into the darkness of the world. May the Lord become flesh and dwell in the world. Amen.
I invite you to stand for the reading of the gospel lesson from the Gospel of John, the first chapter, the first 14 verses. Hear now a more deeply theological reading of the coming of God to us in Jesus Christ. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came for testimony to bear witness to the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness to the light. The true light that enlightens every man was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world knew him not. He came to his own home, and his own people received him not. But to all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave power to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, full of grace and truth. And we have beheld his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father. Thus ends our reading. May God add his blessing to the reading and hearing of his holy word. Before our sermon, I've had a request for a special prayer, and I'm going to honor that request. I'm going to ask you that we lift up also several other names and situations that are very important right now in the time and in the life of our community. First, I lift up Captain Brad DeLoach, who is the son of John and Georgie DeLoach. He'll be leaving for Iraq on Friday. And the other names, well, let's pray as we do with the out loud service. Some of you know how we do that. We answer each prayer concerned with, Lord, hear our prayers. Let us pray. Holy Father, we come before you on this holy night, the night of Christmas Eve, in which we celebrate the connectedness that we have with you through your coming to us in Jesus Christ, the promise that you have given us through your Holy Spirit to give us a peace that passes all human understanding, the promise to be with us even in the darkest of times. And Lord, as Father, you have promised your grace and your forgiveness through the merits of your Son. Lord, in his name we lift up Captain Brad DeLoach. Lord, hear our prayers. We lift up Jim Garner, recovering from back surgery. Lord, hear our prayers. Billy Tunstall in the hospital in Greenville. Lord, hear our prayers. Ann Rogers in the hospital here in Greenwood. Lord, hear our prayers. And Miriam Aylwine at home undergoing treatments. Lord, hear our prayers. Lord, hear our prayers spoken and unspoken, whether we are here to worship or here out of habit or here because of family pressure. We pray that you touch us in unexpected ways through the presence of your Spirit and as you always have. In Jesus' name, amen. My message tonight, and this is one way I've always been able to get an amen, the once a year amen out of this congregation, will be brief. Thank you. I know that you're used to hearing the Luke story, and you heard instead the John story. Light and darkness will be our theme tonight. Light and darkness, which you will act out in the candle lighting after communion. And speaking of light, did you know, I just found this out, that there is a light bulb in a fire station in Livermore, California that has been burning for 107 years. It's true. Larry's seen it. You can see this on a webcam at www.centennialbulb.org. And I tuned in. It wasn't as much fun as I thought it would be. but I want you to imagine a light bulb piercing the darkness for 107 years. Imagine, that began burning 30-something years after the Civil War was over. It burned brightly during World War II, World War I, Korea, Vietnam, all during the Great Depression and before there ever was a Lake Greenwood here. Now, I want you to keep your imagination in gear and consider what we heard from the Gospel of John about Jesus. Compared to the other Gospels, John is as different as a ruby is from a diamond, both precious and valuable, but so very different. John is so deeply theological and so densely packed with meaning that it cannot be read as history. It cannot be read linearly. No, the Gospel of John demands to be read as inspired poetry of the highest sort. And it begins with the power of God, described as the Logos, or the Word. And this Word, which was the very power of God in creation, a power that was spoken forth and everything came into existence. This Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten Son of the Father, a light in our darkness. I think you see what I mean. It is theologically inspired poetry of the highest sort, and it demands all of your brain and more to fathom it. The Word became flesh. that points to a reality behind this one, or I might say a reality above this one, the reality which has always existed, and in that reality, God has always dwelt. And out of that eternal reality, God created everything we see, and the life we share in, and the time we pass through. And this is a theological birth story. The God who existed above, beyond, and behind all that we see became flesh and dwelt among us. And I remember trying to explain this whole concept to a young boy in a Sunday school class years ago. And when he finally got it, he looked at me and he said, "Whoa, whoa indeed." Christmas is a wondrous and mystical day in which we celebrate eternity coming into our time, the Trinity coming into our history. God become flesh to live before us the way God always wanted us to live before Him. God came in flesh to reveal just how far God would go to prove His love for us. And as we say and sing, God came in Jesus Christ as a Savior. And we need one. As we celebrate communion in a few moments, we celebrate that He came to live before us the will of God, and to live before us the love of God, and to die an atoning death for you and me. He defeated our sin and darkness with love and light. And so His birth, if you look at it as Luke does, His birth appears at first to be a tragedy, falling from so high to so low, and His death at first appeared to be a tragedy. A man who was lauded as king and was then crucified as a common criminal. Why do we celebrate? Well, we celebrate because we know the end of the story. Because we know that He did for us what we could not do. He lived and loved and forgave in a way that we could never do. And He followed God's will and resisted temptation in a way we could never do. And He died a perfect sacrifice with a perfection we could never obtain. And His life power, which was the very power of creation, overcame even the darkness of death. He broke the chains of sin and death. He offered us light and a path and an open door and a way out of selfish sin and a way to see and to actually notice and care about other people. God's Spirit enables us to do that, to live as Christ lived. And it is that light, that path, that open door, that way out of selfish sin, the ability to drop the scales from our eyes and see each other, that ability to forgive each other. All these things, all this light in the darkness came to us in Jesus Christ, the babe of Bethlehem. And He was the light that came into the world. And through Him we saw the glory of God the Father. And through Him we gained hope. Hope in the knowledge that darkness and despair is not the way the world has to be. And suffering selfish, singularly in silence is not the way I have to be or you have to be. Because there is hope. Because there is Jesus Christ, a light in this darkness. And the darkness cannot put it out. Sometimes God's light seems dim, but it cannot be put out. In communion, you know, it is more than a remembrance. It is a connection with all those who have gone before, with the God who has walked where we walk and felt what we feel and overcome what we shall face. God is with us, and that gives us hope. Christmas gets all this hope rolling, begins all this blessed hope with such a small gift, a child who turned what seemed to be a tragic birth and then a tragic death into the greatest hope we could hope for. Light, a light in the darkness. The world's darkness, my own personal darkness, your darkness. Into it, Christ comes with light and hope. Our hope and our purpose is to reflect that light. I'm going to close with a story, which you'll think of in a moment when we get to the candles. There's a church in the countryside outside of Geneva, Switzerland, that was built more than 300 years ago, and it's the home of a centuries-old tradition where everyone brings their own light, their own lantern. There is no light, there is no candelabra in the church at all. A tourist who went to the church describes his visit this way. He said, it was the night of Christmas Eve candlelight service. I got there early and I entered and the church was totally dark and I thought maybe the whole service had been canceled for some reason. And as I made my exit, I saw at a distance light moving slowly in the direction of the church. And then from various points, I saw more and more light coming toward the church. And soon I could see the light bearers, men and women and youth, each holding up a lantern. And as they came into the church, they hung their lanterns on hooks that jutted out from the church walls. And it wasn't long before the sanctuary was radiant with light. And after the service, I spoke to one of the parishioners about this tradition. And the parishioner said, it's been going on for almost 300 years. And of course, we could afford electricity now. But we wanted to preserve the symbolism of this custom. And when we meet a fellow parishioner who wasn't with us, we say, we missed your light. The prophet Isaiah reflected on the coming of Messiah and spoke these beautiful words. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. And on those who live in a land of deep shadow, a light has shone. Have you seen that light? Reflect it to others and continue the ministry of the Babe of Bethlehem, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Whether you are a member of this congregation or not, you are invited to come forward and partake of the Lord's Supper. I do invite you to join with me and our liturgy at the confession and pardon. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbors, and we have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Now hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners, and that proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. Glory to God. Amen. Now let us pass the peace, and I know that some of you haven't seen each other since this time last year. We'll extend it a bit, but when I call us back, come back. Let us pass the peace. Peace. We'll get you from here. Thank you. I would invite those who are going to assist me to please come forward and stand at each side so that you'll be here in just a moment to be served first as we begin. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. Right to give our thanks and praise. It is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. You created light out of darkness and brought forth life on earth. You formed us in your image and breathed into us the breath of life. When we turned away and our love failed, your love remained steadfast. You delivered us from captivity, made covenant to be our sovereign God, and spoke to us through your prophets. In the fullness of time, you gave your only Son, Jesus Christ, to be our Savior. And at his birth, the angels sang glory to you in the highest and peace to your people on earth. And so with your people on the earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might. Heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. As Mary and Joseph went from Galilee to Bethlehem and there found no room, so Jesus went from Galilee to Jerusalem and was despised and rejected. As in the poverty of a stable Jesus was born, so by the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water in the Spirit. As your word became flesh, born of woman, on that night long ago, so on the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took bread, gave thanks to you, broke the bread, gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." When the supper was over, he took the cup. He gave thanks to you, gave it to his disciples and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And so, in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died, Christ is risen, and Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world until Christ comes in his final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit in your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. Will my servers please come forward? Let me give you just a little bit of this. Just a little bit. The blood of Christ was shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. The blood of Christ was shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. The blood of Christ was shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Thank you. to come to you. Are there some in the congregation who need our service to come to you? Yes, right here. Get to Joyce. Thank you, Greg. As you heard just a few moments ago from the Gospel of John, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then down to verse 14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, full of grace and truth, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only Son from the Father. And he was the light coming into the world, the light of God, which darkness could not put out. We recognize tonight, even Christmas Eve, that there is darkness in the world, and we do not pretend otherwise. We proclaim it. We are in many ways a part of it. Now I invite you to be in a spirit of meditation as the sanctuary is darkened. As the darkness grows, we are reminded that even though we celebrate our Savior come, we live in a world where much darkness remains. Let us name some of those who live in the shadows as the candles are extinguished. There are homeless and outcast, even on our streets in Greenwood. There are some who are hungry and some who get help and some who do not. There are others who once bathed in the light of family and friends and community who have descended into poverty or infirmity or grief or bitterness and now suffer alone in the shadows. I have an extended benediction from the year 1513. A Father Giovanni wrote, "And I say to you as a blessing, there is nothing I can give you which you have not, but there is much that while I cannot give you, you can take. No heaven can come to us unless our hearts find rest in it today. Take heaven. No peace lies in the future which is not hidden in this present instant. Take peace. The gloom of the world is but a shadow. Behind it, yet within our reach, is joy. Take joy." And so at this Christmas time, I greet you with the prayer that for you, now and forever, the day breaks and the shadows flee away. Amen and Merry Christmas.